Hi there, I'm Heather.
And I'm Liz.
Welcome to episode one of Well Fun.
Me, 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 me,
me, me, me, me, me, me, me, me, me, me, me, comics, just generally, our favourite kind of comics, the sort of things we read day to day, what we like, what we don't like, characters that are awesome, characters that are maybe a little bit shit. And we'll hopefully...
Central being, I think, is the importance of a good baddie to a good story.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're going to focus on for this episode, is our favourite baddies, or fundamentally what we think makes a good baddie.
Yeah.
And what makes it good within the sort of graphic novel, comic book sort of format. Liz, we've already had a fairly substantial rant.
At each other off mic.
Absolutely.
As warm-up.
Would you like to start us off? Any good... what you think makes a good baddie?
Well, I think it's not massively controversial to put it out there that I think the Joker is possibly the best baddie of all time. I mean, the thing about the Joker is, I'm going to compare it with Superman, which basically has, Superman is a guy who fights against what is a ruthless businessman, a man who occasionally infringes upon the law or will take steps outside of the law to make more money.
Lex Luthor, we've said this before, is basically a very good capitalist.
Yes.
That seems to be his crime, despite the fact that, realistically, he is just a good... He's a good American.
He builds himself up from nothing. He has a massive empire that he controls. And the thing about it is for...
He lives the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
Effectively.
It's quite bizarre that Superman, who would... It's almost like it's the two representations of America, in the sense of Superman is supposedly... You can't think of anything more all-American than Superman. Possibly Captain America.
Yes.
But then Superman is America and American values. He is the wee farm boy. He is the good-working, hard-working citizen Clark Kent. And he is the huge red and blue, might as well be a flag, outfitted superhero.
Yeah.
And yet, Lex Luthor's not really... I mean, Lex Luthor in many ways also embodies this dream of you come from nothing, you work your way up, you get your big empire, you business and build and jobs and all the rest of it.
But pretty much, they are the same.
But the thing about it is they're so dull.
Yeah, they are boring. I have to be honest, I haven't read... any Superman, really, because absolutely nothing about the comics has appealed, with the exception of one I've bought recently, and I'm sure I'll let you know what I think of it once I've read it, and that's Superman Red Sun by Mark Miller.
Which I started reading Red Sun. Yeah, no, Red Sun's quite interesting, but the thing about it is like, having Superman's... It's difficult to get much out of it if you're into complex characters, because basically Superman has... fights with Lex Luthor. He has nothing against Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor, I mean, obviously, as time goes on, obviously, there's lots of grudges, there's Lois Lane, blah, 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 blah. But fundamentally, all Luthor wants is more money and more control. It's not really... it's not visceral. It's not... If you look at things like Batman and Joker, where it is literally Batman who becomes this embodiment of honor, of order...
And honor. You
both
nearly
of these,
said honor there.
Yeah.
But it is
both
totally...
of those things. Yeah. And the Joker, which is basically the embodiment of chaos, he is... I mean, the thing I love about the Joker is he almost... Baddies are about revenge. So many baddies are about this motive for either money or revenge or something. Joker wants nothing. He just... He is not... There is nothing you can give him to buy him off. You cannot... stop him with money or pledges or power or anything. He doesn't want power. He simply is uncontrollable carnage.
But don't you find that with baddies, quite often the best kind of baddies are the ones that have a genuine gripe?
Mm.
Like we were talking earlier, one of my favourite baddies is from a comic, the first comic series I ever read as a young teenage girl with flights of fancy. And I really liked Strangers in Paradise by Terry Moore, which, yes, was basically an American-style soap opera by the end that really lost my interest. But to begin with, the Darcy Parker was, I thought, a brilliant baddie because basically she was drunk with power. She could have whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted it. She was a ruthless businesswoman, to the extent that she committed one of the ultimate taboos. She has sex with her own brother in her teenage years, basically because she can, and because it doesn't matter what she does, she'll get away with it. And her grudge, her whole purpose, and the thing that ultimately destroys her, her fatal flaw, is the fact that Kachu got away from her. The one she wanted, the one that she, like, she has this whole thing where she marks her girls. So all the women who work for or are used by Darcy Parker have a lily tattooed in their breast. And Kachu is her. She's got that lily, as far as Darcy's concerned. Kachu is her property. And she fucks off.
Yeah.
She leaves a senator dying in a bedroom in Darcy's house, and fucks off with her pal in a very expensive car with a bootload of money. And Darcy's whole driving force is, nobody gets away from me.
Yeah,
I am in charge.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately her undoing, but I thought that's what made Darcy an incredibly good baddie.
Yeah.
Was the fact, no, wait, you see, I've been saying Darcy Parker, Darcy Parker, and that won't be her fucking name. But, you know who, if you've read Strangers in Paradise, you know the one I mean. And I like that. I like that about her. But the Joker, you're right, I do think is a better... He is the ultimate baddie, and yet he doesn't conform to that. He doesn't have a grudge. Yeah. He doesn't have a gripe. He doesn't have an issue. He is chaos.
There is a level of standard baddie, which is just a monster of the week type thing, which is just, I am an obstacle in your way. I have no reason to be here except for the fact that I am evil. And then you have really good villains. Like, as you say, genuine grudges, genuine gripes, things that have a visceral nature. I mean, even stuff like, one of my favourite baddies is, I mean, to be honest, to the point he's even arguable as a baddie, is Magneto from the X-Men.
Yeah, because he does have a total, because you, genuine...
Because you can totally see his point. It's just that he's taking it to the stage where he is willing to hurt other people and force other people to do things against their will and basically manipulate... He is somebody who will... I have a point and I am willing to go to any length to make it heard. But he has a valid point. That's what makes him... He does things, and the thing about it is X-Men as it stands is entirely one, very, very much like the Grant Morrison sort of reboot of the series, which starts with, I mean, it's comic book death. It's nothing to announce that it basically starts with the destruction of Genosha, the wiping out of not just Magneto, but like 6 million mutants. And it's almost like that proves Magneto was right. It proves his point, which is people... Why should humans be able to get on with mutants? They can't get on with themselves. And in this, and from starting, making the starting point, the destruction, it proves his point. But the very, even if we were to take beyond that or before that or whatever, without even that as the perfect example, the whole of the X-Men is mutants fighting either humans or other mutants who are basically exemplified. The conflict, the human-mutant conflict. The human-mutant conflict does not get resolved. It's not like... I mean, obviously, if it got resolved... If literally... It would have to be the last episode of the X-Men. There literally would be... The last issue is... Xavier and the President and all the people of the world join hands and sing Hallelujah. And then we all, you know... And the lion lies down with the lamb and that's it. But the very point about it is... the constant conflict proves that he's right. He's a man that comes forward and goes, there will never be peace unless we do it my way.
Absolutely. Don't you find, along a similar vein, Adrian from Watchmen
yes.
is a very similar... He's got a point. He is...
He's not just got a point, he's right.
He is.
He's...
But he's, it's down to that, again, you're right, and you're so convinced you're right, and everyone else is wrong, you are not even going to consider anyone else's opinion.
Yeah.
You will go to extreme lengths to have things your way, well, and no other way.
Well, that's
because
it.
You're right, and everyone else is wrong. Which...
To the point where it, like...
Depending on what that character's doing... You're either a goodie or a baddie, depending on your reader. To a certain extent, you could argue that so many supposed villains, like you say with Magneto, they're not actually villains. They are they're good guys from the point of view of the enemy.
They're simply people. The thing that makes them villains and not heroes is that they are willing to make their point with death. They are willing to kill for what they believe in. And that's not acceptable. You should be willing to die for what you believe in, but being willing to take the life of people who, it's not even a question of innocence or not, it's a question of you're willing to take life to prove your point. Even if your point's right, you shouldn't be too willing to take life. The most important point should always be, if you're a hero, should be that you protect life, you save life. That should be why you are. But that's what's so good about Magneto. That's the only difference. It's not like gee, there's a nut job. It's you've just take that just that aspect of you is what makes you a villain, and that's why it's so you do hunger for him, especially because he's got such a strong relationship with Xavier. You sense this feeling of brothers turned against each other in a civil war, in a sense. Mm-hmm. That sort of, and his hunger to make, because this is a man who genuinely wants to make a better world.
Yeah,
it's not like this is a man who wants to lay waste, carnage, and destruction. He does want that, and then a better world. He's a fanatic and a fundamentalist, but at the same time, I found it really brave of them when they actually made the films to really heavily play on his origins as a Holocaust survivor.
Which you would think would make him less inclined to promote the eradication of an entire species.
Fundamentally.
But I wonder sometimes if Magneto even considers humanity.
Well, that's
humanity.
It's not. Yeah. It's fundamentally... But the thing about it is he basically stands in the film to play it up so much as they do in the movies when you are in America, which is the leading pioneer of Zionism along with Israel, the biggest supporter of Israel, and basically have a guy who basically is, I mean, to a large extent, can be very comparable to Zionism and the extremes of Zionism in the sense of he is born from the Holocaust and basically feels that his people, who he regards as mutants, as rather than Jews, obviously, because there's got to be a metaphor in there someplace. his people should be protected, and we cannot trust others to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's the attempts to make it a mutant-only colony, which he then feels is not far enough, and therefore feels that he is justified in any preemptive attack upon outside forces and upon the human species.
Yeah.
That's quite brave to do and make so obvious in films in a country that is the main proponent of Zionism. You're like, okay, metaphor it up a bit.
Should I apologise to anyone in America that's listening to this?
Oh, I don't think so.
Good, that's alright then. What other kind of baddies... Wicked, if you like, or bad characters do you like? Because obviously, I think with the likes of Magneto and Adrian, and they're very intelligent.
Yes.
But as you say, there's lots of metacore. It's just like a fucking unicorn baddie. It's like the baddie from My Little Pony that was just too fucking hardcore to include. what picture has he got stamped on his ass? He's got the death of the other ponies. Pony plague tattooed in his backside.
Indeed.
No, but that's very, very intelligent. They're addressing a lot of issues. But do you get characters that are bad for bad's sake that are good? Or does there have to be something more to them?
People... The thing about it is you can have an anti-hero who's a bastard, right? But what you want is somebody to rail against. You need to have an antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you... But you struggle to find somebody who you have such a strong reaction to if literally what they are is, well, I'm a bad man.
What about I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, Mike Carey,
mm-hmm.
who did the Lucifer series.
I loved Lucifer.
Is Lucifer a baddie or an anti-hero?
He's the anti-hero. Jehovah Yahweh, God, is the villain. Right? He is the villain. He is the villain because
in so many
he is,
series, you have Preacher, etc.
I think
God
Preacher
is
and Lucifer
the
to
baddie.
Be very, very interesting because in Preacher, the reason God is a bam is because in Preacher, God is just so selfish and
he's
so
a
narcissistic.
Child.
He's so narcissistic. He created the world to love him. How narcissistic do you have to be if being a perfect being isn't enough for you that you would actually create a world full of suffering and pain just so you could hear it sing your praises? You're a nutcase. Whereas in Lucifer, the reason God is a bam is because Yahweh is it's part of the nature of what God is, which is everything exists because of his will. Therefore, all of existence is based and controlled and destined by his existence. If God exists, the whole of the earth ticks and all outcomes are only permissible because it is his will. Therefore, he's a tyrant on a level that is inconceivable to us. To literally not be able... The idea that you cannot move, cannot think, cannot breathe, there are no choices you can make which are out with his will. Because if they were out with his will, you couldn't make them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Lucifer's gripe is against his father.
But then again, Lucifer creates his own universe. And rather than just leave it as that, as like an empty void, he creates life within it. But for what purpose?
But that's his point. That's his point. I mean, that's even... Like, Mike Carey's Lucifer is actually really excellent. If you want to look into something that is a big, epic battle full of action, go find it. If you want to see something that is very interesting in its portrayals of mythology, go find it. There are lots of reasons to read it. And, I mean, and the thing about Lucifer is, if you see him before the fall, there's flashbacks mm-hmm. to before the fall, and one of the things he says is, think of the myriad of different ways of being. Think of the diversity of experience
mm-hmm.
when you consider things that aren't perfect. If we were to create things, he talks about the reason he lords over hell is because of the multitude of things he can create, the room for creativity, and when you consider everything that isn't pleasure. Mm-hmm. The room for...
It's not even pleasure. The representation of heaven is very...
Dull.
Yeah, exactly. And with any church, the basic belief is heaven is basically eternal praise of God. I can think of nothing more dull than eternal repetition.
Man, we're going to get some complaints already. We're having a chip at Zionism and you're having a chip at heaven.
Oh, dear. But it makes it sound boring, as you say, feeding into the narcissism of one individual, i.e. God.
Yeah.
I love in Lucifer the moment, is it in Lucifer or Sandman? When the character of Lucifer, who appeared in Sandman, and this story of the Lucifer comic sort of continues on the idea from Sandman by Neil Gaiman. Lucifer said that he never wanted to fall.
Yeah.
That if the entire purpose of angels was to praise God and having no free will like humanity, then how could he possibly have even conceived of the thought that he was unhappy,
yeah.
that he didn't want to spend all his time praising God. Well, the only answer to that is God put the idea in his brain.
Yeah.
So God is to blame for Lucifer's fall, according to the character. And I always found that very interesting, that it's a case of, it is like, daddy's a dick.
Yes, daddy. It is a book of daddy issues. Because that's literally, in the finale
of
it.
Which gives him a genuine gripe.
Yes,
so if
you can look
at him as either the hero or the villain of the piece.
I mean,
but either way, he's got a point. He is. It's like, fair enough.
He certainly, I mean, I do like that when he basically throws that back in Yahweh's face and is like, that wasn't even my idea. That was the first thing that ever was my idea, and it was your idea.
Yeah.
It's a subtle sense of betrayal that you can't be.
It's also a revolt against the parent on a very basic level. For all that Lucifer is supposed to be he is meant to be the devil, the embodiment of selfish thought. His loyalty to Mazikin is really.
He deliberately speaks as though.
He couldn't give a shit.
He deliberately, but he's always there, right? I mean,
every choice she makes, if you can follow me if you like, I'm not going to look after you.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. I am not in charge of you. If you get into trouble, you're on your own. But as you say, he's always there for her. And
she's kick-ass as well. I mean, in terms of like good female characters, Lucifer's excellent. I mean, Lilith. I mean, she also can be seen as a baddie, and I love a good female like baddie. Uh-huh. I mean, you've talked about Darcy, and I love Mystique from the X-Men. I love someone who's literally like, I love the fact that she's just plots within plots within plots, and she's just constantly trying, and she's got kids scattered to the four fucking winds, and she's so manipulative. She's just deceit incarnate. Mm-hmm. And yet she's so... You feel for her.
Mm-hmm.
But good female again, baddies. Lucifer, Lilith. Lilith, who is the first woman.
I do like the whole idea that the Lilith gripe is, just because I wouldn't do as I was told, I had to leave.
Yeah. She makes a great counterpoint to Lucifer, because Lilith is, there are biblical, if you want to look in, there's a Kabbalistic myth of Lilith, which is, first, there was man, God created man and woman, and then later on it says, but there was just man, and then they created Eve. So there's a sort of offshoot myth that there was a woman who was Adam's first wife, and that is Lilith. And she refused to be subjugated by Adam, and called out for God to give her a hand, and telling him to get his self to fuck. And he basically God doesn't hear her call, or doesn't respond to her call, and she decides to leave Eden and goes out into the world and mates with demons by the Red Sea. Why does she do these things? Because
demon orgy.
Yes,
she's fairly cock hungry,
but she
realistically
is,
and according to comics anyway.
Well, yes, but the thing about it is she's a very good counterpoint to Lucifer as well, because she's obviously one of God's first creations, his children, and she is also dissatisfied and chooses to make a creation of her life out with the sort of rooms of perfection and the rooms of praise that he's made for her. And I like it
because
she's
technically she's never sinned, as it is, she doesn't fall as Eve, as the whole idea. She never ate of the tree of knowledge, so she was never cursed with painful childbirth or aging. So she's still perfect as she was at the beginning of creation.
And the thing about
that's why she has these multitude of children, this army,
ease,
because there is no pain. You just give birth.
And not to give away
on.
The ending or anything like that, but it very much is, she is not simply just a good female, a character who happens to be female, who, a lot of the time you get female characters that are just, I'm a man with tits. See how I've got my big sword and I kick your ass. I just happen to have tits. but Lilith is very much completely, is very intrinsically female. All her power comes from her feminine strength and our feminine ability to create and to grow. And it's very, very interesting. So that's our favourite baddies.
I think, actually, just one other baddie. I think we're focused on the kind of baddies we have been liking have been very serious or thoughtful, or there's been a lot to them. And I have to say that one of my favourite baddie characters, and there, we need giant inverted commas here, is from the Bone series.
Yeah.
The rat creatures. Now, I know you haven't read all of Bone, but I very much... the Jeff Smith's Bone series, I think there's like, it took 10 years to write.
Yeah.
Won lots of awards, but I love the rat creatures because in number, they are a force to be reckoned with, and they are terrifying. They destroy villages, they kill people and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And their king, King Doc, is staggeringly terrifying. He's almost unkillable.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, even at that, he is still not as powerful as the Lord of the Locusts, who is just, it's not even got a body. It's just a terrifying character. But the rat creatures individually are stupid.
Yeah.
Which makes them, while they are frightening in number, they are so stupid, they're funny.
Yeah.
And especially, like, there is a pair of them that runs through the whole series. And all one of them wants is quiche. And it's from beginning to end. It's just... And fundamentally, there gets to a point where they're no longer complete enemies.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we can actually work together for a common good.
Yeah.
But afterwards... I'm going to have to run and hide. Bone's going to have to run and hide. And you're going, rat creature's going to try and turn them into quiche. But I just love, I think the best bit for me in that whole nearly 1,500 pages worth of comic was when they finally got quiche. And it's like, there are so many good bits, so many quite bits that genuinely frighten, give me a little bit of a fright when you're reading it on your own. And there is... this hooded creature that is basically a dead body made up of locusts. That's creepy. It's a demon that can get into you and drive your body and you've got no control. That's quite creepy.
Yeah.
Little hairy things with giant sharp teeth desperate for quiche. Not so creepy. And I just really, really enjoyed them. They brought the... They were the good, bad characters because they brought the comic relief. And I think that's kind of...
Yeah.
Because Bone starts out being very funny.
Yeah.
And by the end, it's become a big, serious epic.
Mm-hmm.
You needed baddies like the rat creatures because they brought...
Mm-hmm.
They were the idiots
of
the series. And they brought the lightheartedness
and
the relief back to the series. Yeah. Which I think at certain points... It was missing.
Yeah.
It was like, this is getting quite grim.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rat creatures appear and they just make you go, ah, quiche, fantastic. What flavour, Bone. But I like those kind of... And there are so many characters like that where they are villains, but they're funny. Like the zombies in Goon.
Yeah.
Which, again, very good series. Excellent, excellent story. The baddies are funny, though.
Yeah.
The zombies are hilarious, but again, in number and with their leader in charge.
Yeah.
A force to be reckoned with. And I quite like that.
Yeah.
About baddies.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they need to make you laugh.
I definitely think it's good to have... I mean, the thing about being able to make you laugh is you've got to have a well-rounded character. You've got to have somebody who's not just simply there going,
that's the issue. If a character, if your baddie is just bad, as we said, as we've repeated again and again throughout this, if their sole focus is on revenge or getting what they want, whatever it is, and there is nothing else to their character, they become boring and bland, which I think ultimately that's Lex Luthor's problem.
Yeah, I want more money. Well, okay, get it legally.
Didn't you want more money in the first book? And now this one? And how many years have you wanted more money for? You're dull.
Yeah.
It's I don't, maybe I'm being very, very unfair, but, and obviously my only background to Superman is the films and the TV series.
But it's not the thing about it is it's very, it's not really difficult to figure Superman out. It's not like if you do read this, you'll get the layers upon layers. It's not layered. You're not going to go to bed
scratching your head going,
And that's cool. I mean, it's fine. I'm not slagging Superman off to Superman fans who enjoy watching a big man and wearing his pants on the outside blowing shit up. I like that myself. But I just don't... It doesn't have anything with it. It doesn't come with the age... I mean, Batman, you could literally almost say, is the ancient struggle of order versus chaos. But Superman, the ancient struggle of capitalism versus slightly... patriotic person. You know, what is that? The ancient struggle of corporate management versus versus nerdy reporter. It's not, there's nothing that doesn't tap into anything that really pulls you along. It's just kind of there.
So Liz, this has been our first little go at this podcast. Are you quite happy?
I'm quite happy.
Good. I have to say, I'm not totally horrified as I expected to be. If you would like to ask us to read anything specific,
if you have any complaints about what you've heard on today's show, please forward them to your ma, as we have no interest in hearing them. However, if you'd like us to discuss anything about comics that you've read or that you think that we should talk about, I can guarantee you we've read them already. We've read a shitload, but we haven't read everything.
You can contact us at what is our email address? Actually, it's wellthumbed@hotmail.co.uk. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Heather.
And I've been Liz. And we've been well thumbed.
Oh, how well thumbed. Thank you.